Kitsa says to Ryle. He instantly drops his head in his hands.
Tell her,
Elisa says, her voice angrier now.
She has the right to know, Ryle. She's your wife. If you don't tell her, I will.
Ryle's shoulders roll forward, and his head is fully pressed against the counter now. Whatever it is Elisa wants him to tell me has him so agonized he can't even look at me. I clench my stomach, feeling the angst deeper than my soul. Elisa spins toward me and puts her hands on my shoulders.
Hear him out, she begs.
I'm not asking you to forgive him, because I have no idea what happened last night. But just please, as my sister-in-law and my best friend, give my brother a chance to talk to you. Elisa said she'd watch the store for the next hour until another employee comes in for their shift. I was still so upset with Ryle, I didn't want him in the same car with me. He said he'd send for an Uber and meet me at my apartment. My entire drive home, I agonized over what he could possibly need to tell me that Elisa already knows. So many things went through my head. Is he dying? Has he been cheating on me? Did he lose his job? She didn't seem to know the details of what happened between us last night, so I have no idea how this relates to that. Ryle finally walks through my front door 10 minutes after me. I'm sitting on the couch, nervously picking at my nails. I stand up and start to pace as he slowly walks to the chair and takes a seat. He leans forward, clasping his hands in front of him.
Please sit down, Lily.
He says it pleadingly, like he can't take seeing me worry. I return to my seat on the couch, but I scoot to the arm, pull my feet up, and bring my hands to my mouth.
Are you dying?
His eyes stretch wide, and he immediately shakes his head.
No. No. It's nothing like that.
Then what is it? I just want him to spit it out. My hands are starting to shake. He sees how much he's freaking me out, so he leans forward and pulls my hands from my face, holding them in his. Part of me doesn't want him touching me after what he did last night, but a piece of me needs the reassurance from him. The anticipation of what I'm about to find out is making me nauseous.
No one is dying. I'm not cheating on you. What I'm about to tell you isn't going to hurt you, okay? It's all in the past. But Elisa thinks you need to know, and so do I.
I nod, and he releases my hands. He's the one up and pacing now, back and forth behind the coffee table. It's as if he's having to work up the courage to find his own words, and that's making me even more nervous. He sits in the chair again.
Lily, do you remember the night we met?
I nod.
You remember when I walked out onto the roof, how angry I was?
I nod again. He was kicking the chair. It was before he knew marine-grade polymer was virtually indestructible.
Do you remember my naked truth? What I told you about that night and what caused me to be so angry?
I lean my head down and think back to that night and to all the truths he told me. He said marriage repulsed him. He was only into one-night stands. He never wanted to have kids. He was mad about a patient he'd lost that night. I start nodding. The little boy, I said. That's why you were mad, because a little boy died and it upset you. He blows out a quick breath of relief.
Yes, that's why I was mad.
He stands up again, and it's like I see his entire soul crumble. He presses his palms against his eyes and fights back tears.
When I told you about what happened to him, do you remember what you said to me?
I feel like I'm about to cry, and I don't even know why yet. Yes, I told you I couldn't imagine what something like that would do to that little boy's brother, the one who accidentally shot him. My lips start to tremble. And that's when you said,
It'll destroy him for life, that's what it'll do. Oh, God. Where is he going with this? Ryle walks over and drops down to his knees in front of me.
Lily, he says, I knew it would destroy him. I knew exactly what that little boy was feeling, because that's what happened to me, to Elisa's and my older brother.
I can't hold in the tears. I just start crying, and he wraps his arms tightly around my waist and he lays his head on my lap.
I shot him, Lily. My best friend, my big brother. I was only 6 years old. I didn't even know I was holding a real gun.
His whole body begins to shake, and he grips me even tighter. I press a kiss into his hair because it feels like he's on the verge of a breakdown, just like that night on the roof. And while I'm still so angry at him, I also still love him, and it absolutely kills me to find this out about him, about Elisa. We sit quietly for a long time, his head on my lap, his arms around my waist, my lips in his hair.
She was only 5 when it happened. Emerson was 7. We were in the garage, so no one heard our screams for a long time. And I just sat there and...
He pulls away from my lap and stands up, facing the other direction. After a long stretch of silence, he sits down on the couch and leans forward.
I was trying to.
Ryle's face contorts in pain, and he lowers his head, covering it with his hands, shaking it back and forth.
I was trying to put everything back inside his head. I thought I could fix him, Lily.
My hand flies up to my mouth. I gasp so loudly there's no way to hide it. I have to stand up so I can catch a breath. It doesn't help. I still can't breathe. Ryle walks over to me, taking my hands and pulling me to him. We hug each other for a solid minute when he says,
I would never tell you this because I want it to excuse my behavior.
He pulls back and looks me firmly in the eyes.
You have to believe that. Elisa wanted me to tell you all of this because since that happened, there are things I can't control. I get angry. I black out. I've been in therapy since I was 6 years old. But it is not my excuse. It is my reality.
He wipes away my tears, cradling my head against his shoulder.
When you ran after me last night, I swear I had no intention of hurting you. I was upset and angry. And sometimes when I feel that much emotion, something inside of me just snaps. I don't remember the moment I pushed you, but I know I did. I did. All I was thinking when you were running after me was how I needed to get away from you. I wanted you out of my way. I didn't process that there were stairs around us. I didn't process my strength compared to yours. I fucked up, Lily. I fucked up.
He lowers his mouth to my ear. His voice cracks when he says,
You are my wife. I'm supposed to be the one who protects you from the monsters. I'm not supposed to be one.
He holds me with so much desperation he begins to shake. I have never, in all my life, felt so much pain radiating from one human. It breaks me. It rips me apart from the inside out. All my heart wants to do is wrap tightly around his. But even with everything he just told me, I'm still fighting my own forgiveness. I swore I wouldn't let it happen again. I swore to him and to myself that if he ever hurt me again, I would leave. I pull away from him, unable to look him in the eye. I walk toward my bedroom to try and take a moment to just catch my breath. I close my bathroom door behind me and grip the sink, but I can't even stand up. I end up sliding to the floor in a heap of tears. This isn't how this was supposed to be. My whole life, I knew exactly what I'd do if a man ever treated me the way my father treated my mother. It was simple. I would leave, and it would never happen again. But I didn't leave. And now, here I am with bruises and cuts on my body at the hands of the man who was supposed to love me. At the hands of my own husband. And still, I'm trying to justify what happened. It was an accident. He thought I was cheating on him. He was hurt and angry, and I got in his way. I bring my hands to my face and I sob, because I feel more pain for that man out there, knowing what he went through as a child, than I feel for myself. And that doesn't make me feel selfless or strong. It makes me feel pathetic and weak. I'm supposed to hate him. I'm supposed to be the woman my mother was never strong enough to be. But if I'm emulating my mother's behavior, then that would mean Ryle is emulating my father's behavior. But he isn't. I have to stop comparing us to them. We're our own individuals in an entirely different situation. My father never had an excuse for his anger, nor was he immediately apologetic. The way he treated my mother was much worse than what's happened between Ryle and me. Ryle just opened up to me in a way that he's probably never opened up to anyone. He's struggling to be a better person for me. Yes, he screwed up last night. But he's here, and he's trying to make me understand his past and why he reacted the way he did. Humans aren't perfect, and I can't let the only example I've ever witnessed of marriage weigh in on my own marriage. I wipe my eyes and pull myself up. When I look in the mirror, I don't see my mother. I just see me. I see a girl who loves her husband and wants more than anything to be able to help him. I know Ryle and I are strong enough to move past this. Our love is strong enough to get us through this. I walk out of the bathroom and back into the living room. Ryle stands up and faces me, his face full of fear. He's scared I'm not going to forgive him, and I'm not sure that I do forgive him. But an act doesn't have to be forgiven in order to learn from it. I walk over to him and I grab both of his hands in mine. I speak to him with nothing but naked truth. Remember what you said to me on the roof that night? You said, "There is no such thing as bad people. We're all just people who sometimes do bad things." He nods and squeezes my hands. "You aren't a bad person, Ryle. I know that. You can still protect me. When you're upset, just walk away, and I'll walk away. We'll leave the situation until you're calm enough to talk about it, okay? You are not a monster, Ryle. You're only human. And as humans, we can't expect to shoulder all of our pain. Sometimes we have to share it with the people who love us so we don't come crashing down from the weight of it all. But I can't help you unless I know you need it. Ask me for help. We'll get through this. I know we can." He exhales what feels like every breath he's been holding in since last night. He wraps his arms tightly around me and buries his face in my hair. "Help me, Lily," he whispers. "I need you to help me." He holds me against him, and I know deep in my heart that I'm doing the right thing. There is so much more good in him than bad, and I'll do whatever I can to convince him of that until he can see it too. Chapter 21. "I'm heading out. You need me to do anything else?" I look up from the paperwork and shake my head. "Thank you, Serena. See you tomorrow." She nods and walks away, leaving the door to my office open. Elisa's last day was 2 weeks ago,
She's due any day now. I have two other full-time employees, Serena and Lucy. Yes, that Lucy. She's been married for a couple of months now and came in looking for a job 2 weeks ago. It's actually worked out pretty well. She keeps herself busy, and if I'm here when she is, I just keep my office door shut so I don't have to listen to her sing. It's been almost a month since the incident on the stairs. Even with everything Ryle told me about his childhood, the forgiveness was still hard to come by. I know Ryle has a temper. I saw it the first night we met, before we even spoke a word to each other. I saw it that awful night in my kitchen. I saw it when he found the phone number in my phone case. But I also see the difference between Ryle and my father. Ryle is compassionate. He does things my father never would have done. He donates to charity. He cares about other people. He puts me before everything. Ryle would never in a million years make me park in the driveway while he took the garage. I have to remind myself of those things. Sometimes the girl inside of me, the daughter of my father, is really opinionated. She tells me I shouldn't have forgiven him. She tells me I should have left the first time, and sometimes I believe that voice. But then the side of me that knows Ryle understands that marriages aren't perfect. Sometimes there are moments that both parties regret. And I wonder how I'd feel about myself had I just left him after that first incident. He never should have pushed me, but I also did things I wasn't proud of. And if I'd have just left, would that not be going against our marriage vows? For better or for worse. I refuse to give up on my marriage that easily. I am a strong woman. I've been around abusive situations my whole life. I will never become my mother. I believe that 100%. And Ryle will never become my father. I think we needed what happened on the stairwell to happen so that I would know his past and we'd be able to work on it together. Last week, we got into another fight. I was scared. The other two fights we'd gotten into did not end well, and I knew this would be a testament to whether or not our agreement for me to help him through his anger would work. We were discussing his career. He's finished with his residency now, and there's a 3-month specialized course in Cambridge, England he applied for. He'll find out soon if he was approved, but that's not why I was upset. It's a great opportunity, and I'd never ask him not to go. 3 months is nothing with how busy we are, so that wasn't even what got me so upset. I became upset when he discussed what he wanted to do after the Cambridge trip was over. He was offered a job in Minnesota at the Mayo Clinic, and he wants us to move there. He said Mass General is rated the second best neurological hospital in the world. Mayo Clinic is number one. He said he never intended to stay in Boston forever. I told him that would have been a good subject to bring up when we discussed our futures on the flight to get married in Vegas. I can't leave Boston. My mother lives here. Elisa lives here. He told me it was only a 5-hour flight and that we could visit as often as we wanted. I told him it was pretty hard to run a floral business when you live several states away. The fight continued to escalate, and both of us were getting angrier by the second. At one point, he knocked a vase full of flowers off the table and onto the floor. We both just stared at them for a moment. I was scared, wondering if I had made the right decision to stay, to trust that we could work on his anger issues together. He took a deep breath, and he said,
"I'm gonna leave for an hour or two. I think I need to walk away. When I get back, we'll continue this discussion."
He walked out the door, and true to his word, he came back an hour later when he was much calmer. He dropped his keys on the table and then walked straight to where I was standing. He took my face in his hands and he said,
"I told you I wanted to be the best in my field, Lily. I told you this the first night we ever met. It was one of my naked truths. But if I have to choose between working at the best hospital in the world and making my wife happy, I choose you. You are my success. As long as you're happy, I don't care where I work. We'll stay in Boston. That's when I knew that I had made the right choice. Everyone deserves another chance, especially the people who mean the most to you. It's been a week since that fight, and he hasn't mentioned moving again. I feel bad, like I thwarted his plans in some way, but marriage is about compromise. It's about doing what's best for the couple as a whole, not individually. And staying in Boston is better for everyone in both of our families. Speaking of families, I look over at my phone right as a text from Elisa comes through. Elisa, are you finished up at work yet? I need your opinion on furniture. Me, be there in 15 minutes. I don't know if it's the impending delivery or the fact that she's not currently working, but I'm pretty sure I've spent more time at her house this week than I have at my own. I close up the shop and head toward her apartment. When I step off the elevator, there's a note taped to her apartment door. I see my name written across it, so I pull it off the door. Lily, on the 7th floor, apartment 749, A. She has an apartment here just for extra furniture? I know they're rich, but even that seems a little excessive for them. I get on the elevator and press the button for the 7th floor. When the doors open, I head down the hall toward apartment 749. When I reach it, I have no idea if I should knock or just go inside. For all I know, someone could live here. Probably one of her people. I knock on the door and hear footsteps from the other side. I'm shocked when the door swings open and Ryle is standing in front of me. Hey, I say, confused. What are you doing here? He grins and leans against the doorframe.
I live here. What are you doing here?
I glance at the pewter number plate next to the door and then back at him. What do you mean you live here? I thought you lived with me. You've had your own apartment this whole time? I would think an entire apartment would be something a husband would bring up to his wife at some point. It's a little unnerving. Actually, it's ludicrous and deceptive. I think I might be really angry at him right now. Ryle laughs and pushes off the doorframe. Now he's filling up the entire doorway as he lifts his hands to the frame over his head and grips it.
I haven't really had a chance to tell you about this apartment, considering I just signed the paperwork on it this morning.
I take a step back. Wait. What? He reaches for my hand and pulls me inside the apartment.
Welcome home, Lily.
I pause in the foyer. Yes, I said foyer. There is a foyer. You bought an apartment? He nods slowly, gauging my reaction. You bought an apartment, I repeat. He's still nodding.
I did. Is that okay? I figured since we live together now, we could use the extra room.
I spin in a slow circle. When my eyes land on the kitchen, I pause. It's not as big as Elisa's kitchen, but it's just as white and almost as beautiful. There's a wine cooler and a dishwasher, two things my own apartment doesn't have. I walk into the kitchen and look around, scared to touch anything. Is this really my kitchen? This can't be my kitchen. I look in the living room at the cathedral ceilings and the huge windows overlooking Boston Harbor. Lily, he says from behind me,
you aren't mad, are you?
I spin and face him, realizing that he's been waiting on me to react for the past several minutes. But I'm completely speechless. I shake my head and bring my hand up to cover my mouth.
I don't think so, I whisper.
He walks up to me and takes my hands in his, pulling them up between us.
You don't think so?
He looks worried and confused.
Please give me a naked truth, because I'm starting to think maybe I shouldn't have done this as a surprise.
I look down at the hardwood floor. It's real hardwood. It's not laminate. Okay, I say, looking back up at him. I think it's crazy that you just went and bought an apartment without me. I feel like that's something we should have done together. He's nodding, and it looks like he's about to spit out an apology, but I'm not finished. But my naked truth is that it's perfect. I don't even know what to say, Ryle. Everything is so clean, I'm scared to move. I might get something dirty.
He blows out a rush of air and pulls me to him.
You can get it dirty, babe. It's yours. You can get it as dirty as you want.
He kisses the side of my head, and I don't even say thank you yet. It seems like such a small response to such a huge gesture.
When do we move in?
He shrugs.
Tomorrow? I have the day off. It's not like we have a whole lot of stuff. We can spend the next few weeks buying new furniture.
I nod, trying to run through tomorrow's schedule in my head. I already knew Ryle was off tomorrow, so I didn't have anything planned. I suddenly feel the need to sit down. There aren't any chairs, but luckily the floor is clean. I need to sit down.
Ryle helps me to the floor, and then he lowers himself in front of me, still holding my hands.
Does Elisa know? I ask him. He smiles and nods his head.
She's so excited, Lily. I've been thinking about getting an apartment here for a while now. After we decided to stay in Boston for good, I just went ahead with it to surprise you. She helped, but I was starting to worry she'd tell you before I had the chance.
I just can't wrap my head around this. I live here? Me and Elisa get to be neighbors now? I don't know why I feel like this should bother me, because I really am excited about it.
He smiles and then says,
I know you need a minute to process everything, but you haven't seen the best part and it's killing me.
Show me.
He grins and pulls me to my feet. We make our way through the living room and down a hallway. He opens each door and tells me what the rooms are, but doesn't even give me time to go in any of them. By the time we make it to the master bedroom, I've concluded that we live in a 3-bedroom, 2-bath apartment with an office. I don't even have time to process the beauty of the bedroom as he pulls me across the room. He reaches a wall covered by a curtain, and he turns and faces me.
It's not a ground that you can plant a garden in, but with a few pots, it can come close.
He pulls the curtain aside and opens a door, revealing a huge balcony. I follow him outside, already daydreaming about all the potted plants I could fit up here.
It overlooks the same view as the rooftop deck,
he says.
We'll always have the same view we had from the night we met.
It took a while to sink in, but it all hits me in this moment, and I just start crying.
Ryle pulls me to his chest and wraps his arms tightly around me.
Lily, he whispers, running his hand over my hair. I didn't mean to make you cry.
I laugh between my tears. I just can't believe I live here.
I pull away from his chest and look up at him.
Are we rich? How can you afford this?
He laughs.
You married a neurosurgeon, Lily. You aren't necessarily strapped for cash.
His comment makes me laugh, and then I cry some more. And then we have our very first visitor, because someone begins pounding on the door.
Elisa,
he says.
She's been waiting down the hall.
I run to the front door and swing it open, and we both hug and squeal, and I might even cry a little more. We spend the rest of the evening at our new apartment. Ryle orders Chinese takeout, and Marshall comes down to eat with us. We have no tables or chairs yet, so the four of us sit in the middle of the living room floor and eat straight out of the containers. We talk about how we'll decorate. We talk about all the neighborly things we'll do together. We talk about Elisa's impending delivery. It's everything and more. I can't wait to tell my mother. Chapter 22. Elisa is 3 days overdue. We've lived in our new apartment for a week now. We successfully got all of our stuff moved the day Ryle was off, and Elisa and I went furniture shopping the second day we moved in. We were practically settled by the third day. We got our first piece of mail yesterday. It was a utility bill for establishing service, so it finally feels official now. I'm married. I have a great husband, an awesome house. My best friend just happens to be my sister-in-law, and I'm about to be an aunt. Dare I say it? But can my life get any better? I close my laptop and get ready to leave for the evening. I've been leaving earlier now than I usually do because I'm so excited to get home to my new apartment. Just as I begin to close my office door, Ryle uses his key to open the front door to the store. He lets the door fall shut behind him as he walks in with his hands full. There's a newspaper tucked under his arm and two coffees in his hands. Despite the frenzied look about him and the urgency in his step, he's smiling.
Lily,
he says, walking toward me. He shoves one of the coffees in my hand and then pulls the newspaper out from under his arm.
3 things. 1, did you see the paper?
He hands it to me. The paper is folded inside out. He points at the article.
You got it, Lily. You got it.
I try not to get my hopes up as I look down at the article. He could be talking about something totally different from what I'm thinking. Once I read the headline, I realize he's talking about exactly what I was thinking. I got it? I'd been notified that my business was nominated for an award for Best of Boston. It's a People's Choice Awards the newspaper holds annually, and Lily Blooms was nominated under the Best New Business in Boston category. The criteria are for businesses that have been open less than 2 years. I had a suspicion I might have been chosen when a reporter for the paper called me last week and asked me a series of questions. The title reads, Best New Businesses in Boston. Votes are in for your top 10. I smile and almost spill my coffee when Ryle pulls me in, picks me up, and spins me around. He said he had 3 pieces of news, and if he started with that one, I have no idea what the other 2 could be. What's the second thing? He sets me back down on my feet and says,
I started with the best one. I was too excited.
He takes a sip of his coffee and then says,
I got selected for the training at Cambridge.
My face is taken over by a huge smile. You did? He nods and then he hugs me and spins me around again. I'm so proud of you, I say, kissing him. We're both so successful, it's sickening. He laughs. 3? I ask him. He pulls back.
Oh, yeah. 3.
He casually leans against the counter and takes a slow sip of his coffee. He gently places his coffee back on the counter.
Elisa is in labor.
What? I yell.
Yeah.
He nods toward our coffees.
That's why I brought you caffeine. We aren't getting any sleep tonight.
I start clapping, jumping up and down, and then panicking as I try to find my purse, my jacket, my keys, my phone, the light switch. Right before we make it to the door, Ryle rushes back to the counter and grabs the newspaper and tucks it under his arm. My hands are shaking with excitement as I lock the door. We're going to be aunts, I say as I run to my car. Ryle laughs at my joke and says,
Uncles, Lily. We're going to be uncles.
Marshall calmly steps out into the hallway. Ryle and I both perk up and wait for the news. It's been quiet in there for the past half an hour. We've been waiting to hear Elisa scream in agony, a sign she delivered, but there were no sounds at all. Not even the cries of a newborn. My hands go up to my mouth, and seeing the look on Marshall's face has me fearing the worst. His shoulders just start shaking, and tears pour out of his eyes.
I'm a dad.
And then he punches the air.
I'm a dad.
He hugs Ryle and then me and says,
give us 15 minutes and you can come inside to meet her.
When he closes the door, Ryle and I both release huge sighs of relief. We look at each other and smile.
You were thinking the worst too?
He asks. I nod and then hug him. You're an uncle, I say, smiling. He kisses my head and says,
you too.
Half an hour later, Ryle and I are both standing next to the bed, watching Elisa hold her new baby. She's absolutely perfect. A little too new to tell who she looks like yet, but she's beautiful, regardless. You want to hold your niece? Elisa says to Ryle. He kind of stiffens up like he's nervous, but then he nods. She leans over and puts the baby in Ryle's arms, showing him how to hold her. He stares down at her nervously and then walks over to the couch and takes a seat.
Have you guys decided on a name yet?
He asks. Yes, Elisa says. Ryle and I both look at Elisa and she smiles, teary-eyed. We wanted to name her after someone Marshall and I both think the world of. So we added an E to your name. We're calling her Riley. I instantly look back over at Ryle, and he blows out a quick breath like he's a little in shock. He looks back down at Riley and just starts smiling.
Wow,
he whispers.
I don't know what to say.
I squeeze Elisa's hand and then walk over and take a seat next to Ryle. I've had a lot of moments when I thought I couldn't love him more than I already do, but once again I'm proven wrong. Seeing the way he looks at his new baby niece makes my heart expand. Marshall sits down on the bed next to Elisa.
Did you guys hear how quiet Issa was through the whole thing? Not a single peep. She didn't even take drugs.
He puts his arm around her and lies down next to her on the bed.
I feel like I'm in that movie Hancock with Will Smith and I'm about to find out I'm married to a superhero.
Ryle laughs.
She's kicked my ass a time or two growing up. I wouldn't be surprised. No cussing around Riley, Marshall says. Ass,
Ryle whispers to her. We both laugh, and then he asks me if I want to hold her. I make like I have grabby hands because waiting for my turn has been killing me. I pull her into my arms and am shocked by how much love I have for her already.
When are Mom and Dad coming in?
Ryle asks Elisa. They'll be here by lunch tomorrow.
I should probably get some sleep then. Just got off a long shift.
He looks back at me.
You coming with?
I shake my head. I want to hang out for a little while longer. Just take my car and I'll catch a cab home. He kisses me on the side of my head and then rests his head against mine as we both look down at Riley.
I think we should make one of these.
He says. I glance up at him, not sure if I heard him correctly. He winks.
If I'm asleep when you get home later, wake me up. We'll start on it tonight.
He tells Marshall and Elisa goodbye, and Marshall walks him out. I glance over at Elisa, and she's smiling. I told you he'd want babies with you. I grin and walk back over to her bed. She scoots over and makes room for me. I hand Riley back to her and we snuggle together on her bed and watch Riley sleep, like it's the most magnificent thing we've ever seen. Chapter 23. It's 3 hours later and after 10 o'clock when I make it back home. I stayed with Elisa for another hour after Ryle left, and then went back to my office to finish up a few things so that I don't have to go in for the next 2 days. Whenever Ryle has a day off, I try to coincide my own days off with his. The lights are off when I walk through the front door, so that means Ryle is already in bed. The entire drive home, I thought about what he'd said. I wasn't expecting this conversation to come up so soon. I'm almost 25, but I had it in my head it would be at least a couple of years before we started trying for a family. I'm still not certain I'm ready for it yet, but knowing it's now something he wants someday has put me in an incredibly happy mood. I decide to make myself a quick bite to eat before waking him up. I haven't had dinner yet, and I'm starving. When I flip on the kitchen light, I scream. My hand goes to my chest, and I fall against the counter. Jesus Christ, Ryle! What are you doing? He's leaning with his back against the wall next to the refrigerator. His feet are crossed at the ankles, and his eyes are narrowed in my direction. He's flipping something over in his fingers, staring at me. My eyes fall to the counter to his left, and I see an empty glass that probably recently held scotch. He drinks it on occasion to help him fall asleep. I look back at him, and there's a smirk on his face. My body instantly grows warm at that smile because I know what comes next. This apartment is about to become a frenzy of clothes and kisses. We've christened nearly every room since we moved in here, but the kitchen is one we haven't tackled yet. I smile back at him, my heart still beating erratically from the shock of finding him here in the dark. His eyes fall to his hand, and I notice he's holding the Boston magnet. I brought it from the old apartment and stuck it on this fridge when we moved in. He places it back on the fridge and taps it.
Where'd you get this?
I look at the magnet and then back at him. The last thing I want to do is tell him that magnet came from Atlas on my 16th birthday. It would only bring up an already sore subject, and I'm too excited for what's about to come next between us to give him the naked truth right now. I shrug. I can't remember. I've had it forever. He stares at me silently and then straightens up, taking two steps toward me. I back myself against the counter and my breath catches. His hands meet my waist and he slides them between my ass and my jeans and pulls me against him. His mouth claims mine and he kisses me while he begins to lower my jeans. Okay, so we're doing this right now. His lips drag down my neck as I kick off my shoes, and then he pulls my jeans off the rest of the way. I guess I can eat later. Christening the kitchen just became my priority. When his mouth is back on mine, he lifts me and sets me down on the countertop, standing between my knees. I can smell the scotch on his breath, and I kind of like it. I'm already breathing heavily as his warm lips slide across mine. He takes a fistful of my hair and he tugs gently so that I'm looking up at him.
Naked truth?
He whispers, looking at my mouth like he's about to devour me. I nod. His other hand begins to slide slowly up my thigh until there's nowhere left for his hand to go. He slips two warm fingers inside of me, keeping my gaze locked with his. I suck in a rush of air as my legs tighten around his waist. I begin to move against his hand, moaning softly as he stares heatedly at me.
Where did you get that magnet, Lily?
What? My heart feels like it begins beating in reverse. Why does he keep asking me this? His fingers are still moving inside of me. His eyes still look like they want me. But his hand. The hand that's wrapped in my hair begins to tug harder, and I wince. Ryle, I whisper, keeping my voice calm, even though I'm beginning to shake. That hurts. His fingers stop moving, but his gaze never leaves mine. He slowly pulls his fingers out of me and then brings his hand up around my throat, squeezing gently. His lips meet mine and his tongue dives inside my mouth. I take it because I have no idea what's going through his head right now, and I pray I'm overreacting. I can feel him hard against his jeans as he presses into me, but then he pulls back. His hands leave me entirely as he flattens his back against the refrigerator, scraping his eyes over my body like he wants to take me right here in the kitchen. My heart begins to calm down. I'm overreacting. He reaches beside him, next to the stove, and he picks up a newspaper. It's the same newspaper he showed me earlier, with the awards article printed in it. He holds it up, then tosses it toward me.
Did you get a chance to read that yet?
I blow out a breath of relief. Not yet, I say, my eyes falling to the article.
Read it out loud.
I glance up at him. I smile, but my stomach is anxious. There's something about him right now. The way he's acting, I can't put my finger on it.
You want me to read the article? I ask. Right now?
I feel odd, sitting on my kitchen counter half-naked, holding a newspaper. He nods.
I'd like you to take off your shirt first. Then read it out loud.
I stare at him, trying to gauge his behavior. Maybe the scotch has made him extra frisky. A lot of times when we make love, it's as simple as making love. But occasionally, our sex is wild. A little dangerous, like the look in his eyes right now. I set the paper down, pull off my shirt, and then pick the paper back up. I start reading the article out loud, but he takes a step forward and says,
"Not the whole thing."
He flips the paper over where it starts in the middle of the article, and he points to a sentence.
"Read the last few paragraphs."
I look down, even more confused this time. But whatever will get us past this and into the bed. The business with the highest number of votes should come as no surprise. The iconic Bibs on Marketson opened in April of last year, quickly becoming one of the highest-rated restaurants in the city, according to TripAdvisor. I stop reading and look up at Ryle. He has poured himself more scotch, and he's swallowing a sip of it.
Keep reading, he
says, nudging his head at the paper in my hand. I swallow heavily, the saliva in my mouth growing thicker by the second. I try to control the trembling of my hands as I continue reading. The owner, Atlas Corrigan, is a 2-time award-winning chef and also a United States Marine. It's no secret what the acronym for his highly successful restaurant, Bibs, stands for. Better in Boston. I gasp. Everything is better in Boston. I clench my stomach, trying to keep my emotions under control as I keep reading. But when interviewed regarding his most recent award, the chef finally revealed the true history of the meaning behind the name. "It's a long story," Chef Corrigan stated. "It was an homage to someone who had a huge impact on my life. Someone who meant a lot to me. She still means a lot to me." I put the newspaper on the counter. "I don't want to read anymore." My voice cracks on its way up my throat. Ryle takes 2 swift steps forward and grabs the newspaper. He picks up where I left off, his voice loud and angry now.
When asked if the girl was aware he named a restaurant after her, Chef Corrigan smiled knowingly and said, "Next question."
The anger in Ryle's voice makes me nauseous. "Ryle, stop it," I say calmly. "You've had too much to drink." I push past him and walk quickly out of the kitchen toward the hallway that leads to our bedroom. There's so much happening right now, and I'm not sure I understand any of it. The article never stated who Atlas was talking about. Atlas knows it was me, and I know it was me, But how in the hell would Ryle put two and two together? And the magnet, how would he know that came from Atlas just by reading that article? He's overreacting. I can hear him following me as I walk toward the bedroom. I swing open the door and come to a sudden halt. The bed is littered with things. An empty moving box with the words, Lily's stuff, written on the side of it. And then all the contents that were inside that box. Letters. Journals. Empty shoe boxes. I close my eyes and breathe in slowly. He read the journal. No. He read the journal. His arm comes around my waist from behind. He slides a hand up my stomach and takes a firm hold of one of my breasts. His other hand feathers my shoulder as he moves the hair away from my neck. I squeeze my eyes shut just as his fingers begin to trace across my skin up to my shoulder. He slowly runs his finger over the heart and a shudder runs over my whole body. His lips meet my skin right over the tattoo, and then he sinks his teeth into me so hard I scream. I try to pull away from him, but he has such a tight grip on me he doesn't even budge. The pain from his teeth piercing my collarbone rips through my shoulder and down my arm. I immediately start crying, sobbing. "Ryle, let me go," I say, my voice pleading. "Please, walk away." His arms are cutting into mine as he holds me tightly from behind. He spins me, but my eyes are still closed. I'm too scared to look at him. His hands are digging into my shoulders as he pushes me toward the bed. I start trying to fight him off of me, but it's useless. He's too strong for me. He's angry. He's hurt. And he's not Ryle. My back meets the bed, and I frantically scoot back toward the headboard, trying to get away from him.
"Why is he still here, Lily?"
His voice isn't as composed as it was in the kitchen. He's really angry now.
"He's in everything. The magnet on the fridge, the journal in the box I found in our closet, the fucking tattoo on your body that used to be my favorite goddamn part of you."
He's on the bed now. "Ryle," I beg, "I can explain." Tears streak down my temples and into my hair.
"You're angry. Please don't hurt me. Please walk away. And when you come back, I'll explain."
His hand grips my ankle, and he yanks me until I'm beneath him.
"I'm not angry, Lily,"
he says, his voice disturbingly calm now.
"I just think I haven't proved to you how much I love you."
His body comes down against mine, and he takes my wrists with one hand above my head, pressing them against the mattress.
"Ryle, please!"
I'm sobbing, trying to push him off of me with any part of my body.
"Get off me! Please!"
"No, no, no, no."
"I love you, Lily,"
he says, his words crashing against my cheek.
"More than he ever did. Why can't you see that?"
My fear folds in on itself, and I become diluted with rage. All I can see when I squeeze my eyes shut is my mother crying on our old living room couch, my father forcing himself on top of her. Hatred rips through me, and I start screaming. Ryle tries to muffle my screams with his mouth. I bite down on his tongue. His forehead comes crashing down against mine. In an instant, all the pain fades as a blanket of darkness rolls over my eyes and consumes me. I can feel his breath against my ear as he mutters something inaudible. My heart is racing. My whole body is still shaking. My tears are still somehow falling, and I'm gasping for air. His words are crashing against my ear, but the pain is throbbing in my head, too hard for me to decipher his words. I try to open my eyes, but it stings. I can feel something trickling into my right eye, and I instantly know it's blood. My blood. His words begin to come into focus.
Sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm...
His hand is still pressing mine into the mattress, and he's still on top of me. He's no longer trying to force himself on me.
Lily, I love you, I'm so sorry.
His words are full of panic. He's kissing me, his lips gentle against my cheek and mouth. He knows what he's done. He's Ryle again, and he knows what he's just done to me. To us. To our future. I utilize his panic to my advantage. I shake my head and I whisper, "It's okay, Ryle, it's okay. You were angry. It's okay." His lips meet mine in a frenzy, and the taste of scotch makes me want to puke now. He's still whispering apologies when the room begins to fade out again. My eyes are closed. We're still on the bed, but he's no longer fully on top of me. He's on his side, his arm wrapped tightly over my waist. His head is pressed against my chest. I remain stiff as I assess everything around me. He isn't moving, but I can feel his breaths, heavy with sleep. I don't know if he passed out or if he fell asleep. The last thing I can remember is his mouth on mine, the taste of my own tears. I lie still for several more minutes. The pain in my head begins to worsen with every minute of consciousness. I close my eyes and try to think, where is my purse? Where are my keys? Where is my phone? It takes me a full 5 minutes to slide out from under him. I'm too scared to move too much at once, so I do it an inch at a time until I'm able to roll onto the floor. When I can no longer feel his hands on me, an unexpected sob breaks from my chest. I slap my hand over my mouth as I pull myself to my feet and run out of the bedroom. I find my purse and my phone, but I have no idea where he put my keys. I frantically search the living room and kitchen, but I can barely see anything. When he headbutted me, it must have left a gash on my forehead, because there's too much blood in my eyes and everything is blurry. I slide to the floor near the door, growing dizzy. My fingers are shaking so hard it takes 3 tries to get the password right on my phone. When I have the screen up to dial a number, I pause. My first thought is to call Elisa and Marshall, but I can't. I can't do that to them right now. She just gave birth to a baby a matter of hours ago. I can't do this to them. I could call the police, but my mind can't even process what all that entails. I don't want to give a statement. I don't know that I want to press charges, knowing what this could do to his career. I don't want Elisa mad at me. I just don't know. I don't completely rule out eventually notifying the police. I just don't have the energy to make that decision right now. I squeeze the phone and try to think. My mother. I start to dial her number, but when I think of what this would do to her, I start to cry again. I can't involve her in this mess. She's been through too much. And Ryle will try to find me. He'll go to her first, then Elisa and Marshall, then to everyone else we know. I wipe the tears from my eyes and then begin dialing Atlas's number. I hate myself more in this moment than I ever have in my entire life. I hate myself because the day Ryle found Atlas's number in my phone, I lied and said I had forgotten it was there. I hate myself because the day Atlas placed his number there, I opened it and looked at it. I hate myself because deep down inside, I knew there was a chance that I might one day need it. So I memorized it.
Hello?
His voice is cautious,